Kane is in the building.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode of the Three-Peat Podcast. This is the seventh episode of the seventh season. Took a little break last week, but we're back with a great episode for you guys tonight. And for this week's episode, I'm your host. And as always, I have the pleasure of being joined by my co-hosts.
Stephen Minazzo.
TJ Howell.
Josh Fromowitz.
Good to be back, boys. Took a little break, but we're ready to go. We reset, and tonight we're gonna start off with some hockey. We don't touch it too much on the show, but there's a lot going on in the NHL right now. A lot of big moves that are being made. Even as someone who is not the biggest hockey fan, some of the names that are getting thrown out there are huge. So of course, I got to start off with the team that plays at the Mecca, the Rangers. Recently getting Tarasenko, then getting the legendary winger, Patty Kane, who's making his debut tonight at the Garden against the Senators. Very hype. So Josh, you know, we look at this Rangers team. Last season made it all the way into, I think, the conference finals, lost to the Lightning, who ended up winning the Cup. It was the Avalanche that won. They lost to the Avalanche. Right.
They lost their three-peat. Only two-peated.
That's what it was. Well, if they didn't three-peat, then I don't know. They don't deserve to be talked about on this show anymore. But that's for another time. So this season gets off to a little bit of a rough start, but we do see some sparks with this Rangers team now. And I think one of the biggest things, and I'm sure you'll elaborate on it, is the two guys that they acquired in trades have chemistry with one of the Rangers' biggest players, with Panarin. So, you know, I'm sure you'll talk about that, but what did, you know, these two moves, you know, what do you see them doing for the Rangers' playoff run? And I'm curious to hear what you have to say more about Patrick Kane, because I've always known this guy as being one of the biggest names for the Blackhawks, and for him to get traded to another big market team like the Rangers, I was happy, of course, but definitely took me by surprise. So definitely talk about these two moves that they've made.
So yeah, I mean, the Rangers are retooling, and TJ and I have been talking about this extensively over the past few days because it's the trade deadline season. But there's been massive trades happening for like 3 weeks now, with the Islanders starting it all off with Bo Horvat right before the All-Star break. But then you see guys like Timo Meier going to the Devils, the Bruins getting Tyler Bertuzzi earlier today. The Rangers, you mentioned, getting Vladimir Tarasenko and Patrick Kane. The East is loaded. It's just, they're just taking star players from the West, and the East is ridiculous. I believe I was watching the TNT pregame show yesterday before the Ranger game, and they said out of the top six in the league, five of the top six are betting favorites to win the Stanley Cup. They're all from the East. So just think about that. You have five of the six best teams in the league, all in one conference. The East is going to be insanely competitive this year, and it makes for a very dramatic finish, and even more exciting when you have stars up and down the ice for every team that's going to be playing. Not just the Bruins, who lead the league in points, but the Devils, the Islanders, the Rangers, Carolina. So it'll be a fun finish for sure. Patrick Kane is obviously the headliner, Vladimir Tarasenko as well. They bring a lot of experience. Patrick Kane has 3 Stanley Cups. Vladimir Tarasenko has 1. Both former MVP. Is Tarasenko former MVP, TJ? I feel like he
is. I don't think he is, but last year he had his best season.
I'm pretty sure he's a Stanley Cup MVP at least.
Let me look into that, and I will get back to you.
Well, Patrick Kane is both an MVP and Stanley Cup MVP. I can guarantee that. 3 Stanley Cups, but Castle mentioned both Panarin and Kane have the previous history in Chicago, as well as Tarasenko has that Russian connection with Panarin. And I believe they're living together in the city in Panarin's apartment. So that's pretty cool to see. The Rangers, we talked about so much last year about, oh, they're a very young, inexperienced team and they overachieved. Now you get a year under their belts. You have guys like Adam Fox and Igor Shesterkin, Mika Zibanejad, all relatively young guys who now have playoff experience and deep playoff game experience. Then you add in these well-seasoned vets who are still producing at very high levels. It's a recipe for success, and I'm very excited to watch how the Rangers finish their season. No MVPs for Tarasenko.
I'm glad TJ, thank you for clearing that up. And Castle, I just want to kind of bring in this point too with the Rangers getting a guy like Tarasenko, who has been a top player, you know, especially for the Blues, but, you know, in the NHL for how many years now? And then Patty Kane, I mean, he's like one of the first guys I knew because my buddy Trevor, who is a big hockey guy, played hockey his whole life, and like that was his favorite player, you know, Patty Kane. So like, Patty Kane's one of those guys where you kind of grow up watching and like really getting into that sport. So like, you know, whether baseball, that was Derek Jeter, Big Poppy, you know, football, Tom Brady, or I'm trying to think of other players, you know, or basketball, LeBron James. Like for hockey, Patrick Kane is one of those guys. Now you could say Connor McDavid, you know, but when we were growing up, Patrick Kane was that guy. So now the Rangers, they have a couple of those top picks, you know, Kapokako, Alexi Lafreniere. They haven't really reached that potential yet of those top picks. Not saying they're bad players. They're still super young. I mean, Lafreniere might be 20 at most. Kako's probably 22. So when you get to be in the locker room with these guys, whether it's just for, I think Tarasenko will be gone come next year because they can't re-sign everyone. Patty Kane, on the other hand, you know, he might resign. He wanted to be traded to the Rangers. So I think they might be able to work something out there. If they were able to work out a trade for him, even after getting Tarasenko, some other guys, I think they can work out an extension for him. But my point is just being in the locker room with those guys, seeing how they compose themselves, how they, you know, go about practice, games, travel, even just little things they do. Like, those are Stanley Cup champions. Those are, you know, Tarasenko's not an MVP winner, but, you know, he was a top player. He's a top player in the league. Patty Kane is, you know, an MVP winner and probably in past years has had MVP type seasons, but someone else won it.
At the end of his career, depending on how many years he's got left, he could possibly go down as the greatest goal scorer for an American.
Yeah.
I believe he's 200, just under 200 short of in points, which if you think he has what, 3 or 4 good years left. I know it's a lot and he's getting up there in age, but it's definitely possible.
Oh yeah. And especially now playing on a team like the Rangers. I mean, I don't think he's going to want to play on that's why he kind of wanted out of, or is going to leave Chicago regardless, because they're in the downfall. They're in a rebuild right now. So I think not only are these moves good just to help the Rangers because they made the Eastern Conference Finals this year, they have a lot of good pieces. Now you just needed a couple of those pieces to put together to try to make a run at the Stanley Cup, especially when you got to go against Boston, Carolina again, you know, like big, you know, big teams who are no joke. So not only does it help with that, But I'm saying, like, it helps the other guys, you know, even Panarin to be back with, to be, you know, since he's close friends with Tarasenko, since they're both from Russia, to be with him, and then to be back with Patrick Kane. You know, these are, I really think these were good moves, not just because of the talent, but what it really means to the overall team in that locker room.
So, TJ, I got a fun fact for you. We've been exchanging fun facts all week, and I saved the best one for last, I think. In their 2 years together, Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin, I believe they played 162 games together, so 81 and 81, two seasons. Those two combined scored almost 400 points with their together, which is absurd. So those two together, if they could find some sort of Chicago magic and bring it to Broadway, Ranger fans, we're in for a treat.
And, you know, we talked about Patrick Kane, his expression of wanting to come to the Rangers. I think the fact that he was upset when he originally didn't get traded, and Stevie kind of touched on that a little bit, that really speaks volumes too. And it's interesting because he's the second oldest guy on the Rangers. And, you know, we with the Rangers, they're known, you know, they got the kid line, you know, they've got a slew of young players. So when you talk about a young team going through growing pains and trying to navigate through the playoffs a little more, adding a guy like Kane is huge. And the love that has been shown for him since he's been traded, even before he's played tonight, it's huge. I mean, you know, he was, I think during his presser, he talked about how he spoke to Jalen Brunson and his dad, who's a coach for the Knicks, and Jalen Brunson showing up in a Rangers jersey for the game last night, which, just a quick side note, very refreshing to see, considering we've seen this guy rep Eagles jerseys at some points throughout the season. But I think it's a huge move for the Rangers. And I didn't even realize now how loaded the East is going to be. And before we move on to the other team in the East, this is just for any of the hockey heads on this episode. Has the West been more of the loaded conference recently, and now this is just a huge shift in the East, or has it been more balanced and the East just made a big jump with all these moves?
TJ could definitely allude to this better than I can, but I think this is more of the East wanting to say, we're done with the Lightning. We got to compete with them. We know we're most likely going to see them in the playoffs, and we feel we need to upgrade to knock them off, because yeah, they lost in the championship last year, but they're still the top dogs. That's three straight finals appearances by them. They're the Golden State Warriors of basketball, of hockey. So someone in the East has to take them down, whether that's Boston, who is most likely going to win the President's Trophy this year, or it's the Rangers with their big moves. The Devils are playing unreal this year and are third in the East, Carolina right behind Boston. So there's a lot of very competitive teams that are willing, that are, look like they could compete and make a Stanley Cup appearance.
I want to say I might have not predicted, like, said this on the podcast before, one of the last times we were talking about hockey, but I'm like, if I didn't, like, you gotta watch out for the Devils. I think the only thing that's going to hurt them is not the talent, but the inexperience of playoff experience that they're lacking. You know, Jack Hughes has really this year turned it on to the whole another gear. But he's still super young. He still hasn't made the playoffs yet. Timo Meier, fantastic player. You know, he's a little older than Hughes. So he's been in this league for a while. I don't know how many playoff runs he's had with San Jose, but they definitely haven't gone, if he's made the playoffs with them, they haven't gone super far. I'm trying to think what else, like who else on that team, you know, Jesper Bratt is very good. The only one that you know, Dougie Hamilton, he's a true veteran. He's really good defensively, and the goaltending is a little shaky at times. So they definitely have a lot of talent, and they will definitely be in the playoffs and can make some noise. So that's why you want to watch out for them. But at the same time, like I said, what could hurt them is the lack of playoff experience since they are a very young team. So this could just be setting them up for success for the future. Maybe not to go all the way this year, but yeah, I promise. I agree with you. Like Boston, I mean, TJ, you know, I mean, there's no going. I mean, they're a unit. You know, they are the best team in hockey right now. No one can stop them. And they're only getting better, getting Tyler Bertuzzi, who is a very solid player. Yeah, he's not like you guys didn't need to go out and get a Patrick Kane. You know, you already have David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand. You already have your guys. And I mean, you extended Pastrnak, so that was like another big move to make sure he's locked up because you don't want him going anywhere. What is it, 8-year, $90 million deal? So he got paid pretty handsomely. And then you know, Carolina, it's, I don't know, they always seem to make a deep run. They're always a tough team, but they can never get it to that next step. So I'm really looking out of the East this year. I'm thinking the Rangers and Boston. I'm thinking those two teams, it's got to be either or, because I think they really are the best teams. Because I think Linus Allmark has played tremendous, but I think when he was on Buffalo, he wasn't this great of a goaltender. You know what I mean? Him having this team has really helped him take that next step. But Igor Shesterkin is a better goaltender. He's one of the best goaltenders in the league. Now with the Rangers having some playoff experience under the belts themselves, like Mika, Panarin, Adam Fox. But then, like we said, getting Tarasenko, Kane, that just helped, that boosted them up tremendously. So I think those two teams are the teams that should be dueling it out for the East. But then it's like, how do you knock off the Lightning? You know, they're the ones who've been running the East for the past definitely like almost 5 years now. But so how do you count them out?
That you threw a lot of information at me, Stevie, and you actually set me up nicely for our Boston report on the Bruins. But I just want to say that just backtracking to the Devils, even though I do show my allegiance to the Rangers, I have seen a lot of people in New Jersey show up to the games in Newark, and there's been a lot of pride for that lately, which I am happy to see, because I know that the Devils have been a bottom of the barrel team, and it's exciting. You got the New Jersey, New York, and Boston team all in the mix, which is cool. Well, even
Islanders are competitive too. You have, and Buffalo is competing with that final spot with the Islanders. So you have every single New York, New Jersey team competing for a playoff spot, and then you have Boston, who is the best team in the league right now. So you have the entire East Coast, Northeast, well represented at the top of the playoff race,
which is crazy just to think about, because I don't think there's any other sport but hockey that's got all of those teams in the New York, New Jersey, Boston area, or Massachusetts, Connecticut area. So I didn't even think about that till now, but that's really cool. And I love that Buffalo and the Islanders got their own thing going on right now, competing for that spot. So that's really, really cool. I'm curious to see how that all pans out when we get to that point in the season. But like I was saying before, Stevie teed it up very nicely with what's been going on with Boston. They've been making their moves. They've made teams with three trades with three teams. They've got eight extra helpings of pasta today, given Pastrnak his deal. So they're really making some moves, and they sound like they're the team to beat right now. So TJ, I guess.
And trophy curse, TJ. That's all I got to say to you.
Okay.
Wouldn't be the first time. So I know how to deal with it.
Oh, wait. Here we go. This is a better one. You know who the last team to win the President's Trophy and win the Stanley Cup is? This will tie a beautiful bow on it all. Stevie knows. I know he knows. Say it.
I do not.
Say it, Stevie B.
I don't know the exact year, but it's the Blackhawks.
The 2012-2013
Chicago. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
I thought it was the 2013 one. That's why I just wasn't 100% sure, but got to go with your gut, but I knew it was them, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, again, it wouldn't be the first time I've dealt with it. And to just backtrack a little bit. The last 10 years, it's actually been split 5-5 Eastern and Western Conference teams winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So 2012-2013, Chicago, LA, Chicago, Penguins twice, Capitals, then back to the West with the Blues, Tampa twice, and then Colorado. So it's kind of a nice little split. But yeah, what isn't there to say about the Boston Bruins this season? Linus Ullmark, it is the best goalie right now in the league. Every statistical category other than shutouts, which is all right with me, honestly. They had to make a big splash at the deadline only because Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno are out a unknown amount of time. Their injuries.
I think I saw that Taylor Hall was placed on what they're calling the long-term IL.
Yep, long-term injured list. He's got no timetable yet. Foligno doesn't have a timetable yet, which warranted the Bertuzzi trade today. They went out and got Garnet Hathaway and Dmitry Orlov from the Capitals. And Orlov has had 5 points in his first handful of games with the Bruins. So that's always nice to see, fitting right into the fold. Hathaway, he's fitting right in. He hasn't gotten on the goal sheet yet, but he does have points with the Bruins. They didn't really give up much. They gave up some draft picks and they gave up Craig Smith, who that's one of those I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave kind of things, because as much as I love to watch him play, he found himself in and out of the lineup a lot only because he wasn't producing. He wasn't living up to what the play, like the play style and the tempo of play was this year, especially with where they're at right now. I just there's nothing really else I can say. This team, when they always find a way to win. I don't have to chime on that consistency aspect anymore. They've found ways to win games when I think they're down and out, they've come out either in the second, the third period, coming back and winning it in overtime. I've never seen a team this resilient and this willing to like put everything on the line just to win, if that makes sense. Because like they're pulling out all the stops right now, and adding the players that they did before the trade deadline, they're gonna be a really, really tough physical out when it comes to coming to the end of the season and going into the playoffs. It's gonna be very hard for teams to match the physicality on this team right now, and even that's before bringing in Orlov, Hathaway, Bertuzzi. It's going to be a lot of fun, and like Josh had said, the East as a whole is going to be an absolute bloodbath. And us hockey fans need to sit back with our large bowls of popcorn and just watch. Because it is going to be something that is, it may be historical with how this year's playoffs pan out with teams that like the Sabres coming out of nowhere this year, the Islanders being competitive again, the Devils, and like you guys had said before, the whole like tri-state Northeast area is just, it's a great time to be alive, both with hoops as well. Hoops is going well for some of us too. That's why I said some.
I like how you sneaked that in there, and then we'll address that today, maybe not. But yeah, that, I mean, listen, Boston, they're, everything that you've said, the physicality, the fact that the East is getting so dominant, looking at what the Lightning has done the past few seasons, that's huge. And I love this sense of competitiveness from the teams in the tri-state area. And the one more trade that I want to touch on, just because this kind of goes back to what Stevie was saying earlier about, you know, growing up and knowing certain names in hockey. And, you know, like I've said, you know, no shame in it. I'm the least knowledgeable out of anyone on this show when it comes to hockey. But I do know some names. And one name that I was, that I, you know, I know this guy, and I was like, okay, you know, interesting that he's traded, because I've known him with this team for as long as I've been having some knowledge of hockey. So I want to kind of put this out there, is the quick trade. He's with, I believe, Columbus now. He's with the Blue Jackets.
He got traded again. So now he's on Vegas.
Yeah. He's a Vegas Golden Knight.
Okay. So that's even,
which that makes it a little better.
I have a fun fact too about Jonathan Quick.
So
you know where Jonathan Quick is from?
Connecticut. He went to Avon Old Farms and played with Max Pacioretty.
He's from Avon. Wow, that's.
I think he's from Hamden, but he went.
Yeah, he's from like around my area, like the Middletown, like half hour, 40 minutes around that area.
Very cool.
Yep.
So yes, he's CT, born and raised.
Mm-hmm. Same with Max Pacioretty too.
Which means it should be a Ranger, Devil, Islander, Bruin, Sabre at some point.
There has to be a custom jersey made now after this episode that represents every New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts team. We'll even throw the Wolfpack logo on there at some point. But that's really cool that he's from CT. So, okay. So last I heard, he was with the Blue Jackets. Now he's with Vegas. So whoever wants to chime in, you know, just for my knowledge too, how did he end up with Vegas, and what is this, how does this shake up the West at all, if it does in any capacity?
So he was really upset by being traded to Columbus. You know, he was with the Kings for how many years? He won two Stanley Cups or just one? So I know he went to a few, but definitely he was a Stanley Cup champion with the Kings. And he was their goaltender for how long? And back in his day, I mean, he was one of the best.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I knew about this guy, because he's like, obviously different positions, different scenarios, but he, to me, had that Patrick Kane type of feel in terms of knowing him and his career with the Kings.
Basically, he did, you know.
Put it in like in basketball or football terms to make it a little easier for you, Castle, to understand. It's when you have a guy who has accomplished so much on one team and then gets traded. So it's like, I mean, it's rare to see now because so many guys leave, but like when Kobe toward, let's say in 2012, and there's rumors of him being traded or leaving the Lakers in free agency, he was at that 13, 14 year mark at that point. But he ended up staying with the Lakers. So these type of moves would have been like that kind of, I guess now you could say, like if Damian Lillard were to be traded from Portland without the accomplishments, but like Russell Wilson, Westbrook before, like he had five straight years of five different teams, was on that kind of track because he seemed like a OKC guy for life. Now, obviously not anymore. You can't really Steph Curry, I guess, is a good example. If Steph Curry gets traded from the Warriors, that's basically what Jonathan Quick and Patrick Kane mean to Chicago and LA.
Yeah. And
those are hurting like crazy today, and rightfully so. Those guys are the heart and souls of their franchises.
Oh yeah. And Quick is actually from Milford, which is the town right next to mine. So he's actually closer to me, but still Connecticut. That's why he definitely is upset, because like he's done so much for the Kings. He was so good for them, you know, made so many memories, so many achievements, and, you know, he didn't ask to be traded. I mean, you know, he's up there in age, definitely having his worst season by far. So the Kings probably were like, you know, he's definitely on a hefty contract. They probably signed him to, you know, a huge contract how many years ago? So, you know, he's probably got a big cap hit, not playing his best goaltending by any means. And
I believe he is now kind of like a backup at this point, because I don't know the name. And
well, now they just, but they traded for the Blue Jackets goalie. Yeah,
but they had someone else who basically was starting.
Phoenix Copley, I think is his name.
Yes. Yeah. That sounds familiar. Yeah,
I remember he almost got into a goalie fight the other night with John Gibson.
that would have been something. But yeah, I mean, you know, so then they traded for Jonas, Corpus Caprasillo
Corpusalo.
Corpusalo. So, you know, they wanted a younger goaltender, you know, and a more better one, you say. But then Columbus, they're nowhere near contention. You know, they're one of the worst teams in the league. So not only do you trade him, but you trade him to a team that, frankly, sucks, you know, they're not going to do anything.
John Wall, when he got traded to Houston.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know,
that was a low blow, man. That I felt bad for Wall when that happened.
And this is the same thing, even worse. You know, it's like, how do you think a guy like, so, hey, Quick, you want to, at least one Stanley Cup, and you were, I think he won, Vezina, you know, award, and like, you've done all this great things for us, and we're repaying you by training, shipping you to Columbus, Ohio. So not only does he go from Los Angeles, California, but he goes to Columbus, Ohio, and it's not even the Blue Jackets are a great team. They suck. So then Vegas,
Ohio as a whole sucks.
I didn't say that, promised did.
Steven Benazzo said it.
What are you talking about? That's not your name. So
I got one last thing, Stevie.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're good. So the Kings right now, second place in the Pacific. If the playoffs started today, guaranteed playoff spot. You know where Columbus ranks?
Dead last.
Dead last, right behind Stevie's Blackhawks in the entire league.
Touchy sub.
Well, this is another topic I wanted
to discuss. That was right before you joined. We were talking about this. Stevie, I think you have a little announcement to make.
Hockey's been a weird sport for me because I've been into the NHL for a long time now. And I always try to pick a team, especially the NHL, like being, you know, and obviously me being different, being from Connecticut, I could choose any team. So first, I like the Sabres because I really like Jack Eichel. You know, I was kind of like, No.
You can't do that now. You can't say, oh, you're from Connecticut, you pick any team, and you're a Bulls and a Bears fan. You can't do that.
I mean, I don't have a pro sports team. You live in New York. You have pro sports teams. The only pro sports team that counts for me is the Connecticut Sun, which I will be a fan of. But I am closer to New York, so yeah, that's technically
the team. Why aren't you a Detroit Giant fan? Why aren't you?
Because I don't live, like, I don't have any ties for that. I mean, my family likes them, but I'm saying I like to be different, you know? If I lived in a state with a team, I would root for that team. That's why I love UConn basketball, because, like, they're the home, right, TJ? Exactly.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And TJ's put too, because he's like, he's kind of midway of the state, so he's kind of the same distance from New York to, that's why you like some Boston, some New York.
You also have the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, which is the Islanders affiliate, so you can play that card.
Yeah, but I'm not like from Long Island or anything. So like I root for the Islanders because it's literally 10 minutes from my house, but like, and I've gone to so many games. So that's what I'm saying. Connecticut's just a weird state and position because you're in the middle of all that. So anyway, so point being, I still like the Blackhawks, TJ, but I really think I've been a Rangers fan this whole time. I played with them in Chill for how many years? Chris Drury, I met a couple times since he, I don't know if he still is an owner of the Colony Pizza Restaurants. He might still have ownership, but he maybe doesn't do as much anymore. But my dad used to work with him because my dad used to work at there. So I met him. He signed me in his Rangers uni, a signed autograph kind of message. So, and then like they're like the only hockey team I can watch besides the Islanders, but I don't want to watch the Islanders. So I'm kind of like a Rangers, especially now that Patrick Kane's on the Rangers. Like, it's hard for me not to really root for the Rangers. So
getting roasted by Alan Hahn really got to you, huh?
Yeah, I just
it finally came to a T. You had to let it all out and jump ship.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's. The problem is, it's like, I never really liked the Knicks. That's why, like, no offense, Castle, you know, I watch them because they're on, but like the Rangers, I always have liked. I like their unis. I liked how it says the Rangers, like, they got classic
PJ,
unis.
But PJ, it's okay. When the Bears trade Justin Fields, he'll be a Giant or a Jets fan.
No. I've been a Bears fan since I was like 6 years old. And I don't know what you're talking about trading Justin Fields. I think you're jealous.
I mean, everybody wants to be everyone wants to play for the greatest fat man in New York since Biggie. So,
so point being, it's like I still like the Blackhawks, but like I do like the Rangers a lot too. So I'm a mess, you know. If no one like wants to consider me a true hockey fan, they can because I'm all over the place. I get it.
I barely consider you a true sports fan, Steve. They're all over the place.
Well, the rest of them I have figured out. The Yankees, I was a fan since I was like my first Yankee game. I don't even think I was speaking yet. And then I'm a summer baby, so I might have been, you know, pretty much born in June and gone to a game in July for all I know. So, and then the Bears, like I said, I was like 6 years old and I liked the Bears. And then the Bulls, and then hockey, just, you know, hockey was just, you know, that one's, it's tough, you know, but so I hope I'm somewhat clear. Is that you kind of get it, TJ?
I kind of got you, Stevie. At this point, it's almost like you're just a casual peruser of the sport.
Yeah, I think I'm more of that, you know?
Well, it's like, I'm not like saying that as a dig. It's more like you don't have a set team, but you follow players. You follow when teams are hot. You know who's scoring goals. You know who's playing well. It's not a dig at you. It's just more like you enjoy the sport of hockey. You may not have a team, but you have players you like. Like me, I love the Bruins, but I still love other players. I still support other players, other teams, even. Like, it's
hard
not
to.
It's not digging at you. I don't want to come off like that.
No, TJ, trust me, it's not. And if people wanted, I know Framus will probably dig at me. So,
don't worry, I'll find other ways to dig at you, Stevie. Don't you worry.
I know you will. So,
hey, I'm just glad that you're getting into hockey. That just makes my heart happy.
Well, I do love watching hockey, and that's what I'm saying.
Makes my heart happy.
You know, and like I said, you know, my brother's a Rangers fan. A lot of my friends are Rangers fans. So that's why, like, I'm always surrounded by the Rangers. So as much as I try to like the Blackhawks, it's tough because they're halfway across the country. They're not really on TV a lot.
You're surrounded by Jets and Giant fans. I don't get it. I never will.
Well, now it's 3-1 on this podcast for hockey, so I'm a little outnumbered here.
It's different. Because Brian Urlacher, because I found Brian Urlacher, I liked him, I stuck with him, and I stuck with the team, and for some reason that just stuck, you know? And then it was cool because I mean Jackson, like when we played Madden and stuff, it'd be like Bears Giants. Cause like, if you're both the same team, how do you like, then one of them's got to, you know, it always just worked out perfect, you know? And I don't, I just feel like football's a little different, you know, like most people, like more people are into football than that's why NFL contracts are Mahomes is getting $500 million. Poor Connor McDavid, the most amount of, I don't even think you'll ever even see $20 million a year when like that is low for the NFL. You know, and McDavid is clear, is by far one of the best hockey players of all time, you know? So it's just like not that, like, I'm not saying hockey's not a big sport, but it's just compared to some of these other leagues, it's not like that. So that's why I think, you know, it was different for like football and stuff. And then obviously I'm a Yankees fan, so you can't say shit to me about that.
None of us will. That's the one team that we all unite for. And I think everything you said, Stevie, is valid. And my two comments are, one, I have no problems with you rooting for Chicago teams, but if you ever say deep dish is the best kind of pizza, we will have a problem.
And well, you might still have a problem because I'm not saying deep. I never even had deep dish, but New Haven pizza is the best pizza.
Which is fine because that's more the style of New York. Deep dish is like some fake pot pie. I can't even get into it. So,
a bunch of sauce.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to have a pie, I'm going to get a pie for dessert, not whatever you're trying to throw in that Chicago, whatever that is. So, and the second comment I have is you've announced your allegiance tonight for the Rangers, which play at MSG. So I would like to welcome you to the anti-James Dolan fan club. We welcome you with open arms, and we hope you join us in heckling him until he sells both teams.
That's fair. And Froms, you know, I got a little dig at you now because you're a mixture of like MSG with the Rangers and then the Nets, and then you're the Jets and then the Yankees. You're all over New York. You know, usually I feel like it goes Giants, Yankees, Rangers, Knicks, like Castle. Beautiful. And then it's like Mets, Nets, Islanders, and
usually the other? Mets and Devils. Jets. Mets and Devils are typically together.
I guess because of Jersey.
The only reason why Mets really is the only team that I would say that is the odd man out, but that's because when they were in Jersey, I had season tickets, so I had no reason to root for the Knicks. That was literally, and everything else, my family are Jets, Ranger, Yankee fans. That's
all right.
Not as complicated as rooting for Chicago.
Hey, listen.
And I still root for my local team.
Hey, listen. It's not like I picked, at least I picked another big city. It's not like I picked like Jacksonville. Like I'm a Jaguars fan.
Why are you hating on Duval? Come on.
They're more excited than the Bears right now.
I'm just saying, like at least the Bears are like, have like, they're one of the oldest teams. They're, you know, they have the most Hall of Famers. Yes, they only have one Super Bowl, but they're rich. They got a lot of rich history. The NFC Championship trophy is named after the Bears founder, George Halas. I mean, it's like a very well-known franchise, you know? So it's not like I'm picking the...
Why aren't you a Packer fan? They got rich history.
I hate their colors and I just hate them. They've always been good. You know, I never found a player I used to, not that I hate these guys as people, but like I hate Clay Matthews, you know. Rodgers irks me. You know, he's kind of making me like smile now because he's just such a weirdo and whatever. But like some of those old teams that were so good that they just had those guys that always just made the right plays, like they never could do wrong. I mean, like, it was aggravating. I hated them, you know, and I just, again, I hate I just hate their colors, the green and yellow. I think it's so gross. And plus, yes, I like. Yeah, I'm not even going to say this because then Promise is going to rip me apart for this. So, because I like Wisconsin for football, but I am all over the place. But you know what? At least I'm kind of centralized. New York and the Midwest. My high school teacher asked me if I was from the Midwest. I said no. Connecticut born and raised.
We need to move on to hoops before Stevie goes flying through a
team. My brain is already like, I don't even know how I am. This is how my life goes. You see how I like my sports teams? It's just how my life goes. Just all over the place.
You like a little action in your life, and I can respect that. And maybe in your previous life you were a big cheesehead. So but now you're a Chi-Town guy. You're all Chi-Town. You bleed the Bears and you bleed the Bulls. And you know what? We gotta have a character on the show, and that's you bringing all the Chicago craziness. So we thank you for that, Stevie. We do. And this has been fun to really talk about Puck. We like I said at the beginning of the episode, we don't harp on it too much. I learned a lot from you guys, and there's just a lot of good storylines, and I'm looking forward to picking it up in future episodes. But before we end tonight's show, I want to pick up in an area that we harped on a lot the last time we recorded, and that was the NBA All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend as a whole. I didn't catch all of the events, but from what I saw, the dunk contest, I mean, I think it's a great storyline having Mac McClung win. Don't know, you know, if every dunk deserved the scoring that it did, but he was really exciting. I was very underwhelmed by Jericho Sims. So thanks, Sims. I lost some money on you. I don't gamble a lot, and you lost me some money. And you too, Randall. Yeah, it's all right. You guys are showing up on the court. So, and then when you look at the actual game, Team Giannis and Team LeBron, Team Giannis walks away with the win. I think it was like a 4 or 5 game streak that was broken. I thought that was pretty good. Giannis only came in for one basket because he was hurt. So, you know, and then I think LeBron exited at one point. So there was a point where neither of the captains were playing, which was interesting. Tatum setting the new record. You know, I have my feelings about Tatum, and I'm sure we'll dive into that when we get into more hoops, but he was fun to watch, and I did enjoy this All-Star game. I did. So I want to hear from you guys. You know, we talked a lot about how, you know, it's kind of been on a decline, and a lot of these bigger names aren't participating in as much events, and you really saw that with the dunk contest, I felt, more than anything. So whoever wants to go first, what were your biggest takeaways from this year's All-Star Weekend?
Frankly, it was horrible. It was one of the worst that it's been in years. There was really nothing exciting to me about this weekend, that weekend, other than Mac McClung saving the dunk contest. You look at the skills challenge that they changed. It's horrible now. The whole 3-person team is very idiotic. They need to go back to when it was every man for themselves. They had like 8 players competing, and it was a fun skills challenge to watch. The 3-point shootout, Damian Lillard deserved it, but Julius Randle should not have been in it to begin with. He's horrible. There's so many. It was just a tough watch, 3-point shootout. And then the dunk contest, you had one good dunker doing these sick dunks, and I loved it. But then Jericho Sims, there's slow-mo videos of him botching his dunks and getting like 45s. It made no sense. So I thought that Saturday was a bust. And then the All-Star game itself has declined ever since they introduced the Kobe target score. It was good for 1 year, and then players just stopped caring. And it's a shame, because if they're not trying in the All-Star game, then we're never going to be able to go back to when all-star games, all-star weekends, we're having stars competing at a high level, because they just care way too much about themselves and not about the fans. So one thing that I thought of that can make things better, at least, is if you bring back East versus West and actually have home court advantage in the finals, once again, be something that they play for, because then it might be competitive. And then as for the dunk contest, I said on the last show, you got to have these stars who are all-stars participating in the events. I don't want to see the Giannis and his brothers in the skills challenge. It made no sense. But if you're going to have the dunk contest and not have the stars, there are plenty of YouTube guys, like how Mac McClung started. There's plenty of other guys, Jordan Kilgannon, whatever his last name is. He's a viral dunk sensation. He'd be cool to be in it. Other guys who are known for dunks, I think that could be cool for people to watch, because that's how Mac McClung started. And maybe Mac McClung is starting a trend with that. But other than that, All-Star Weekend is basically in the same trash pile as the other All-Star sports at this rate, because it's a tough watch.
I think baseball has the best one and will always have the best one. And at one point, right? Because at one point, I really did look forward to the NBA Saturday night. That Friday, I used to love the celebrity game. And, you know, I don't know, it's not bad, but like, I used to love watching it, especially when Kevin Hart would do it. And like, I thought it was cool. I always wanted to play in it, like showcase my skills, even though I don't got that many skills. You know, I just wanted to sit in the corner and pop some threes. But anyways, that's not the point of my little rant here. But then, you know, but like, there used to be, like we were saying, there used to be like true all-stars, true like top guys in the league that would want to do the dunk contest. You know, the three-point contest still gets a lot of good guys, but for some reason, they weren't really hitting too many shots this past go-around. And, you know, the dunk contest was like, yeah, besides Mac McClung, it was a little underwhelming. And that's why baseball, like the Home Run Derby, guys want to compete in it. And, you know, Home Run Derby, they all look the same. Home runs all look the same. So as long as a guy can actually hit a home run, who cares really who's in it, as long as they're, you know, cracking them out. And then the actual game, they actually try. The NBA, you saw, I mean, that was guys putting up half-court shots. Like, yeah, it's cool seeing a half-court shot, but when it's at, like, the buzzer, not in the middle of a third quarter or second quarter, you know, where guys, like, letting them go for a dunk or a layup. You know, it's like, come on, if you're not going to take it seriously, then just don't have a game, you know? Because it's, I mean, listen, I would never pay money to get, the fact that they still sell out these all-star events is beyond me, because I would never pay that price to see that. I'd rather probably go to a preseason game and watch young guys get action than go see those guys mess around the whole time. Maybe not, because they are all-stars, but at the same time, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like a waste of time if that's what they're going to do. You know, it's like they really don't want to be there, like, forced to do it. You're forced to be an all-star. Like, I feel like I get it, you know, especially the NBA, since theirs is not, like, that baseball's is, like, pretty much the halfway point of the season. You know, halfway, you do that, little break, and then you start the second half. You know, basketball, they play a majority of the season, then it's the all-star weekend. So unless they just want that break so bad. But if I was named an all-star, like, I would, like, because I was never good at sports. I never really got that honor. Like, I think one time everyone pretty much got awarded, like played in an all-star game. And I loved that game. That was like one of my favorite games, because I was like, wow, I'm like playing in an all-star game in baseball, you know? So I guess these guys, maybe because they've been so good their whole life and like, I don't know. But I think like, if you're an NBA all-star, like that should mean a lot. If you're an MLB all-star, if you're an NFL all-star, like Pro Bowler, like NHL all-star, I mean, not everyone can claim that. So I really think they should, you know, like give a little more. And they try to do that with the money and stuff like that. And like the fact that you have to have guys to try hard to, you know, like, hey, if you guys, you know, win this quarter, you make X amount of money. If you win the final, you make this, like almost like a Super Bowl square. And I think it's kind of sad. I think they should want to go out and compete. They're, you know, they're athletes. They're professional athletes. You know, I'm not saying that they have to be going as hard as if they were in the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup or the World Series. But at the same time, it's like, give a little effort. So I don't know. But I would like the idea of the dunk contest if they, like, had professional, like, these, like, crazy YouTube dunkers doing it, because those guys can do some crazy stuff. So if they could do that on national television, I mean, not only will it give those guys some more, even more popularity, but it actually give a good show. And that's why Mack McGong, I mean, everyone was like in awe because the dude can actually dunk.
And that, and to your point about that, where was I going with it? I don't know where I was going with that. But you mentioned the All-Star game itself. Like, you have guys who are trying harder in the off season and random pro-ams and pickup games. Like, the All-Star game is no different, just with fans, you know, people who are paying to see you play. And they're just chucking up half-court shots. And again, there's not going to be defense, and we're not asking for there to be defense, but, you know, at least try and, you know, more alley-oops and more, a little bit of defense when there's 2 minutes left in the game and something worth playing for. I don't know.
I truly think
East versus West is really the only way that we could get back to somewhat a competitive, fun, enjoyable All-Star game.
Well, that's why I think baseball did it. The winner of the All-Star game, like, got the home field advantage for the World Series.
NBA, that's how East versus West in the NBA was as well.
Yeah, and I think it should, because obviously you want home court, home field advantage. So, like, this Team LeBron, Team Giannis thing ain't going to do shit for, you know, the viewership. Oh, Giannis drafts a team wrong. And like, he was picking John Morant when he wasn't even that pool of players to be picked at that moment. Like, no one cares about that anymore. Like, they tried that to maybe try to be different, unique, but like, it hasn't worked out. So if the NBA doesn't make changes, like, they're really going to see, you know, and like I said, this was probably the worst game I've seen yet. This was probably the worst All-Star weekend I've seen yet.
It was the lowest viewed All-Star game in over 20 years.
Yeah. Just the whole weekend was just not, you know, really what I usually looked forward to watching, which is sad because I really, you know, have, like, look forward to watching the All-Star things. And I don't know why I do, because I always get disappointed. So hopefully they'll change. But that's why MLB, you keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing it right.
I've always looked at the MLB as my favorite, and the NBA was up there for a while, but there definitely has been a decline, and I really did notice the lack of effort, especially in the fourth quarter. That's kind of where you expect things to pick up, and it really didn't. I did think there were some cool aspects to it. I thought the draft was a cool twist to have, you know, fans taking pictures with the guys with their jerseys. But everything you guys said, I'm totally on board with it. East, West, having the home court advantage in the finals, that all of that come back. And I don't know if we'll ever see the All-Star weekend return to that level. I hope. But fortunately for us, the second half of the NBA season has started to pick up. A lot to talk about with that next week. A lot of hockey to pick up on. Spring training is starting for baseball. Who knows what we could stumble upon in football in the next week with the combine and off-season rumors. So we're really in a good spot right now with all four sports, which is always fun for us to have while we got this show going. But that will conclude this week's episode. So we want to, of course, thank you guys, the fans, for continuing to listen. We want to thank our sponsor, Liberty Shirt Co. They're dressing all the best all across the board for Fox Sports. So anytime you want to look to dress to impress, go reach out to Liberty. They always got great deals, great shirts going on. And of course, we want to thank TJ for his efforts with the social media, keeping you guys in the loop with any news related to sports. So keep peeping the 3-peat Instagram. Keep up with the latest news. And thank you guys again for listening. And we'll see you on next week's episode.